Christian with your sword, because they get mad when you offer them a Band-Aid, then they're so thin-skinned, the Band-Aid cuts them, and they get upset, amen. So, I just offended everybody. I'm sorry, amen.
Almost cut you.
No, sir. I've got half the people telling me I'm too hard, the other half telling me I'm too soft, amen. So I guess I'm all right. Amen. It's like this lesson today. I'll go over this, and there's going to be a handful of people that are going to fall asleep because it's boring. The other handful are going to be left behind. Like, what's he talking about? Where's he at? I mean, let's go to Romans 9. So this is a little side note real quick. It just popped in my head. So like 400 years ago, we used to do martial arts and stuff, and I had this guy who, Curtis Swilla, he started the Guardian Angels in New York. They wore the red berets back in like the 80s and 90s. But he came and did a knife class with us. And he told us, if someone comes at you with a knife, and he taught us how to do different things, he said, you got to tell yourself you're going to get cut. Expect to get cut. That way, when you're defending yourself or helping your wife or your kids or your neighbor or your friend, and you get that cut, you're not caught off guard. You can finish what you got to do to disable him or disarm him and move on. As a Christian, sometimes in the battle we're in the fight we're in, tell yourself you're going to get cut. So when you do get cut, it doesn't hurt as bad. And you know how to get healed if you want it. Amen. So let's read Romans 9. Now I can't get the guardian angels out of my head. Amen. I wasn't even saved and I was dealing with angels. So Romans 9, we'll start in verse 1. We're going to read the whole chapter and then we'll go into this. Lord, I just love you, Lord. I just thank you, Lord. I ask you to be with us during Sunday school, Lord. Just help us to get something from your word, Lord. Help something to pique our interest, Lord, throughout this week, Lord, to study it, Lord, to see what it really says and what it means, Lord. Help us to then apply it to our lives, Lord. Once we realize it's truth, we have no excuse, Lord. Doesn't matter how we feel. Doesn't matter what the TV says or what people at work say, Lord. If you want us to live a certain way, Lord, please help us to live that way, Lord. It's all about you, Lord. Help us to keep it that way. In Jesus' name, amen. So Romans 9, 1. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but Rebekah also hath conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that in my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay, of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor, another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endure with much longsuffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he had called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles, as he saith also in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not my beloved. It shall come to pass that, in the place where it is said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, through the number of children of Israel, as be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For we will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabbath had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been like unto Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. Amen. So we're in verse 4 here, Romans 9:4. Now this is Paul, of course, writing. We talked how he had a burden to the Jews, but he was called to the Gentiles. In verse 4, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises. So we talked about adoption and glory last week. So now we're going to talk about covenants. Amen. So as always, I like to throw in definitions when I can. So what is a covenant? A covenant, a mutual consent or agreement of two or more persons to do or to forbear some act or thing. A contract, stipulation, a writing containing the terms of agreement or contract between parties, or the clause of agreement in a deed containing the covenant. So anybody who's into politics, it's let's make a deal. Amen. So today the sad thing is most Christians don't care about covenants or deals or promises or contracts. We know that because handshakes don't mean anything anymore. People's word, I'll be there at this time, and they don't show up. You lied. You gave a word. You made an oath, but you didn't follow through. We've gotten such on this, you can't judge me, don't make me offended, that you can lie to yourself and say, I'm okay. It's okay that I lied. It's okay that I broke my word. It's okay that I'm not honest. It's not how it should be, guys. So thank God the Lord isn't like that. When the Lord makes a deal, he keeps the deal. Amen. Now, the trick is when you're reading your Bible, I don't want to say that, not the trick, but the thing is, logically, when you're reading it, you have to look to see, if thou shalt keep my commandments. You need to look at the wording. So the Lord makes some deals. So here, we talked about it last week or two. Israel was giving all these things that we just read in verse 4. And they still mostly rejected Christ. So it's easy for us to sit back and say, I wouldn't do that if I was them. If I had seen this and seen that, well, we do it now. Now, I know with the economy and finances and my own personal experience, things happen that you can't control. But we shouldn't be so lackadaisical where we don't care. It's okay. It's okay that I messed up. It's okay that I do this again. It's okay that I lie to the credit card people. It's okay that I'm dishonest to the mortgage person. It's okay that I lie to the person in church about when I say I'm going to do something and I don't follow through. It's okay that I lie to preacher when I say I'm going to be there and I'm not there. It's not okay. You watch enough TV and you listen enough radio and you listen enough junk, even some of these liberal preachers out there that think they're tough, and it brainwashes you into thinking, it's okay, I do what I want. Back it up like childlike faith. Right and wrong. It's really simple. We make it hard. You catch kids sometimes, and VBS is coming up, you'll catch them in a lie. Because the first day, the first class, they have this story. By the second or third class, they forgot the lie they told, and their stories have changed. About who their parents are, where they live, what's going on, what happened yesterday, or who took this, or who ate this. So Christians are the same way. for some reason, we think we're smart enough that we can get around and fool everybody. You can't fool everybody. You can't fool God for sure. And most of us know when you're lying. It's just we bite our tongue and pray instead of calling you out on it all the time. Amen. So, but God doesn't lie. So here God made some covenants with Israel. So we learned that there were seven covenants. So I wanted to hit those real quick just so you can understand some of the different covenants. And I just kind of made some notes. And then we'll talk about the three and then kind of the four that apply to the Jews. So the first one is in Genesis 2. Genesis 2. What I'm going to do is I'm going to call on a bunch of ladies to read. That way the guys hopefully will get something in their skin next week or if I ever do this again and they'll want to read, amen. Because if she can do it, I know I can do it, amen. So I'm going to pick on Brother Eric's wife, Miss Shara, to read Genesis 2, verses 15 through 17. Amen. So we call this the Edenic covenant. So this is a deal God makes. He says, look, you got, just take care of this place. You can eat whatever you want. Just don't mess with that one tree. It's your only rule. How simple should that be? But what happens? It breaks it, amen. Basically, it was just obedience. That's the biggest trouble with us. God just wants obedience. He says, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What happens? He gets into it. And I know who we can blame and the reason, and really it's because of changing God's word to freely and to touch and all these different things. So the Edenic covenant. Let's go to Genesis 3. So God makes deals, and depending upon what they're going to do. So this deal gets messed up because the contract gets broken, not by God, but by Adam and Eve and the serpent. So let's go to Genesis 3, 15 through 19. Genesis 3, 15 through 19. I'm going to call on Ken's wife, Tiffany. Amen. So here's another covenant, the Adamic covenant. So here Adam and Eve, they're not obedient. They don't follow the rules. So now God gives them another covenant. And this is a negative one. This is about punishment because they did wrong. Everything's cursed. The serpent, the woman in childbearing, the ground, it's cursed. Still going on. Now, God allows some ways out of certain things to make some things less painful, but as a general rule, this is still on. The next one is the Noahic. It has to do with Noah, the covenant. So let's go to Genesis 9. And I actually learned this one. He's not here right now, but Brother Nate Payton. Actually, a year or two after I got saved, we were in a bus because it was storming at a kiddie camp that Squeaky was running back in the day. And our tent flooded, and we're all sleeping in the bus. And I'm like, man, how do I shut these kids up? They're all scared. We're all going to die. It's just a little bit of rain and lightning. And Nate takes his Bible and starts reading in Genesis 9 how God's not going to flood the whole earth. So, of course, I'm thinking, because I'm newly saved, he still might flood Greensboro, Maryland. We still might all die, man. But the kids were happy. They took the whole earth as wherever they were at, amen. So let's go to Genesis 9. And just, let me see here. We're going to actually read the whole chapter. I'm going to break it up, though. I'll get Ken's mom to read 1 through 17, and then Derek's wife, Jessie, to read 18 through 29. Chapter 9. So here's the Noahic covenant. So God makes a promise. You have to remember, it never rained before Noah. Water came from the ground. The firmament was still up in the sky. So grapes were big. Little lizards were big. It was like a hyperbaric chamber. A scientist in Japan years ago in a hotel made a hyperbaric chamber Michael Jackson bought one because he knew the oxygen would be good for him. It didn't help him any, though. He was still crazy. But this scientist built this into a hotel lobby, and tomatoes grew about 2 feet or bigger because of the oxygen content. So before Noah's flood, all this water's around the earth. It had never rained. So Noah, seven others, eight of them total, building this boat, and they're jumping on this boat, and everyone thinks they're crazy. And then one day, I'll never forget George preaching the message. My daughter got saved from his message. Rain starts to trickle down. And your kids are out there playing, hey, did you spit on me? Because they'd never had rain. We don't understand that because we look at everything as an American in 2017. We've never been to a third world country. We've never been back in time to see how things were done. But the Bible tells us if we read. So all this water comes down, and then these guys jump on a boat. Outside the boat, babies, women, and men are screaming as they drown and die. And there's corpses and death floating around. We don't think of that. We just think Noah's a cool little story for our kids about pretty animals and all this kind of stuff. But so, you know, after things start to dry out, Noah gets off with his family, and God makes a deal. He says, I'm going to give you some rules, and you got to follow them. If not, there's consequences. So to summarize the rules, he says, Noah, I want you to replenish the earth. He says, now animals are going to fear man. Because there was a kindred, you know, back in the garden to now. Now, there's not too many animals on my property that fear me because I can't shoot them. They're too stinking far away. But as a general rule, when you go up to an animal, they'll fear you. Now, I know there's a lion or two that won't, but some will. So now also man can now eat meat from other animals. He gives a list of other things we can eat. But we're not supposed to eat raw meat or blood. That stays the same. So why is there such a phase or a lust with Christians today to watch movies about stuff like that? I don't know about the blood. He also here talks about capital punishment. He tells Noah, hey, we've got a deal now that you kill somebody, you're dead. And he says, no more destruction to the total earth by flood. So let's go on over to Genesis 12. So why am I hitting the covenants? Because so many people read a Bible verse and they don't understand the words in the verse. God wants us to understand the words and what they mean. So it takes a little bit of time to study and connect things. And some of you guys, and when I say guys, I mean men and women. Some of you guys know this and some don't. So I think it's a good thing to go over. So Genesis 12, I guess I should go to Genesis, not Exodus. Genesis 12, I'm going to break this up into two. I'm going to get Job's wife. Are you up to reading? She's reading for two, amen. I'll get her to read Genesis 12, 1 through 9, and then Ms. Carla, can I harass you to read 10 through 20?
Him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth
Amen. So we're also going to, if you caught that in the beginning about the land for Abraham and having to do with faith, and then Abraham messes up, but God still blesses him. So let's go over to Genesis 15. We're going to connect these. Miss Nunn, are you up to reading? Can I get Genesis 15, 1 through 11, and then Sister Vicky, 12 through 21? Amen. There's a lot of ites. So Genesis 12 and 15, it's a promise to Abraham and his people. This pertains to the Jews as well. And he says, I'll make thee a great nation, and I'll bless thee. And when Miss Nunn read, she talked about telling the stars. It's not talking. When you go to a bank, if you don't have a machine, you have a person in front of you, what are they called? A teller. It's a count. Tell means to count. So there's Doc taught us there's maybe 100 words that are tough, but if we take our time, we can figure them out, or we can look in a dictionary, amen? So here's Abraham, and God's promising him to make him a great nation and bless them. But the biggest thing in here is a piece of dirt that the UN, the Catholic Church, and Islam wants for themselves. Because the devil runs all those shows, and he doesn't like that Israel's getting God's attention. So it's all about a piece of dirt. So The next covenant is in Exodus 19. This is the Mosaic covenant. So this is some guy named Moses. So let's go to Exodus 19. And finish with these two real quick. Sister Debbie can read 19, and Sister Stacy can read chapter 20. Read one more. I want to stop. Okay, we'll stop there. I'll get Sister Stacy next week. So we'll stop. We'll pray real quick. So we started the Mosaic covenant. We've only got two more after this, just so you can understand the covenants. Lord, we love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We just thank you for your promises, Lord. We thank you for the promises you have to us, Lord. We are physically not Jews, Lord. Please, God, spiritually we can apply some things, Lord, and practically, Lord, but realistically, Lord. We know who this book's written for, Lord, and we know what's for us, Lord, through Paul. Please, God, help us to read our Bible, Lord, and learn to separate, Lord, what the covenants are and the dispensations, Lord, and Old Testament and New Testament. Lord, help us just to figure things out and get closer to you, Lord. Please, thank you for this time. Be with us the rest of the day. In Jesus' name, amen.